97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus is dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, journalism professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the upcoming Summer Olympics in Rio de Janeiro. Our guest, Linda Robertson, sports writer for the Miami Herald. She is a UNC grad, and she's coming up on her 13th Olympics. Not all summer games. That would be make you about 95 years old. So we are talking about summer and winter combined. This will be your 13th Olympic Games. And Linda, I wanted to, you know, being an avid Olympics watcher, I wanted to bring up something that I've seen again and again as we get, you know, 5 or 6 months away from the games, and it's all kinds of problems that we're worried about. Are the games going to even be held this time? So the problems that are out there for Rio is bloated budgets, venues not ready, unsold tickets, economic upheaval, mass transit problems, and now mosquitoes. So, right. You know, except for the mosquitoes part, I've seen and read all this before, you know, when we're this far out from an Olympics. So are you worried at all?
It seems like every Olympics, especially in recent time, they're preceded by these crises, and everybody gets very nervous and panicky. I mean, I remember prior to the Salt Lake City Games, that was coming off of 9/11, and there was the huge IOC corruption scandal. So there were a lot of questions as to whether that Olympics was actually going to occur, because there was so much fear about a terrorist attack. And that was an Olympics characterized by just stultifying security measures. Sochi, 2014, was another good example of the terror threat. It was held in right near a very unstable area, and there was a lot of fear that terrorists from Chechnya would use the games to wreak havoc on Putin's regime. And there were all these rumors that these Black Widow bombers had already infiltrated the security wall around Sochi, and that they were lurking in Sochi just waiting to pounce, you know, once the games began. That one was, there was a lot of pre-Olympic fear. All kinds of security agents and agencies and experts were predicting, you know, that was going to be very dangerous. And of course, when we got there, there were no security problems, but it was definitely not ready. For example, the media housing wasn't complete. They were literally, when we got there, we couldn't check into our rooms because they said that they were still making the beds. And they were literally still making the beds. They were still constructing the beds. And then a lot of the townscape in the mountains wasn't finished. A lot of the hotels and stores were empty and incomplete. Construction was incomplete. And, of course, Sochi was the most expensive games ever, $51 billion. It just seems like there's always, preceding the Olympics, there's always this fear that there's going to be too many problems, things aren't going to be ready in time. The Olympics will finally be overwhelmed by themselves.
Yeah.
So we're facing the same thing with Rio.
The big concern seems to be the Zika virus. Forbes, for example, called for an outright cancellation of the games based on the Zika virus. And you know, they say that, well, what's different this time is not facilities not being ready, but public health concerns. And that's nothing new either, because in 2008 in Beijing, I think it was bird flu.
Right. We just had here in Miami, the governor declared a health emergency yesterday. because the, you know, because of the Zika virus. But I've also seen reports that, you know, this is being exaggerated and that most visitors to Brazil, you know, come home healthy, that the virus is actually, if you do even catch it, it's not nearly as severe as people are led to believe. So I don't know. Personally, I'm not that worried about like a health danger. I mean, like you said, with Beijing, there was bird flu. There's also a lot of concern about the pollution there. And then we did have some extremely gray and sooty days in Beijing, and people with allergies and, you know, respiratory problems were affected by that. But in this case, I think, you know, they're taking some measures as we speak with this mosquito-borne disease.
So, Linda, one thing I wanted to also get into with you is this is fairly unprecedented that a city would host the Olympics right after having hosted the World Cup. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, you could argue both. I mean, they sort of had a chance to do a, you know, a big dress rehearsal with the World Cup, and it forced them to get some issues prepared, such as, you know, transportation issues, logistical types of things. On the other hand, it's going to be a huge burden on an economy that is really floundering to do another event of this magnitude, you know, within 2 years. And I think the Olympics is going to be an even bigger challenge just because it's just a more sprawling type operation, and you're not just using soccer stadiums, but all kinds of different venues with all kinds of different logistical problems. And the games are going to be spread out, you know, around the city, and they're going to be utilizing that whole Olympic Park area, which is new and hasn't really been tested. Now, they have, you know, as is the case before any Olympics, they do have quite a few test events leading into the games where they have competitions at the venues so that they can, you know, straighten out any kinks. And those have been going okay, I think.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking to Linda Robertson, who is a writer for the Miami Herald, who has been at a bunch of Olympic Games, headed to number 13. Linda, think back to number 1 and now number 12 and going into number 13. How have things changed for the Olympics?
Well, I remember, you know, Barcelona. I particularly remember Lillehammer. That's a good example. That was 1994, Lillehammer, Norway. Small town, charming area of, you know, this winter wonderland. Everything was very quaint, and it was one of my favorite games. The opening ceremonies were, you know, really memorable, and I remember at the cross-country ski races, the course was lined with Norwegian fans who had camped out in the woods for the whole 2 weeks. They had set up tents in the woods, and they would come out to the side of the course to cheer and, you know, ring their cowbells. And then they would hang out at their campsites, you know, eating and drinking. And it was really a festive atmosphere.
That sounds and like now, that sounds like Krzyzewskiville leading up to the Duke Carolina game.
Exactly. Yeah, everybody camping out so they can get the best spot. And then you fast forward to Sochi was the last Winter Olympics, for example, and that would never happen now because the security would be so staggering that they wouldn't allow people to get that, you know, to be camping out in the woods of the cross country course. And also, it just the sort of the bigness of the games, which is an issue that the IOC has always, you know, thing that they're going to do something about. They call it gigantism. How the Olympics have just gotten so big and unwieldy. And, of course, with that comes just a more corporate feel to the games and just more crowded, you know, more transportation problems in these cities. The cost of the games has become so overwhelming that a lot of cities don't even want to bid for them anymore. So I think, you know, the growth has really transformed the Olympics from something that, you know, we remember maybe if you're older as a kid, you know, it was an amateur games and the athletes were, you know, not professionals and there was a real human interest charm to it. And now it's just become a big corporate circus and, you know, none of the athletes are amateurs anymore. And it's more like, you know, like our big time professional sports. It's just that it only comes around once every 2 years.
So has that taken away from the purity, if you will, of the Olympic Games?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it was inevitable. You know, sports is such an industry now. And of course, you know, TV kind of rules the sports world, and the Olympics is a very TV-friendly event. And, of course, the athletes, you know, they've made this into a profession, which in some ways is good for them because you can now be an Olympian for, you know, three straight, four straight, five straight Olympics, and you can make a living as an Olympian now, which, you know, before a lot of great athletes, they could do one Olympics and then they had to quit because they had to figure out a way to make a living. And now with all the sponsorships and stipends from the various federations that you can get, you can be a professional swimmer. You can be a professional rower. And we've got things like golf in the Olympics starting this summer, which in my opinion should not be part of the, I don't even think tennis should be in the Olympics.
Because they already
have players.
Would that be because they already have pro tours and pro leagues in those sports?
This is just my viewpoint, but I think the Olympics should be the pinnacle of your sport. And I don't think you can say that the Olympics is the pinnacle of tennis. They've got four Grand Slams. Same situation with golf. And these people are making millions and millions of dollars on their tours. So to me, the Olympics should be preserved for, you know, those sports that consider it to be the top of their aspirations for, you know, swimming and gymnastics and track and field and everything from, you know, archery to team handball.
Sports Focus. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion about the upcoming Summer Olympics in Rio de Janeiro with Linda Robertson of the Miami Herald, also a proud UNC grad. Linda, when you go to the Olympics as often as you do, or you've gone as many times as you have, that obviously gives you a different perspective than people who see it only on television. What is your unique perspective as a journalist who has covered so many different games? Do they tend to start running together at some point?
No. I mean, the nice thing about the Olympics, having it only once every 2 years and always in a different place so far, it's, you know, each one has its own distinctive personality, and I think that's the nice thing about it. The other thing as a journalist that's great about the Olympics is that you don't just have to write about the X's and O's and the, you know, the bouncing balls. You can write about the people, the athletes, you know, the issues in these settings. I've already written about pollution in Guanabara Bay and how that's going to affect sailing, you know, with the raw sewage floating around in the bay. In Vancouver, I wrote about how the red light district was affected by the games. In Greece, I was able to write about the original marathon route, and the place where they held the shot put competition was the site of the original Olympics. So there was a lot of history to write about there. Atlanta was just an awful game in terms of the flea market feel of it, the over-commercialization of those games. So, you know, as a journalist, if you sort of get away from some of the main events, you know, and explore, you can really capture the feel of this monumental spectacle. And you've also got all this exciting drama on the field, you know, Usain Bolt and Michael Phelps and, of course, the Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan rivalry, you know, Dan Jansen. I mean, there's just so many great human interest stories, and that's what I love about writing about the Olympics.
So I wanted to ask about getting back to this particular Games and the concept of nationalism. You know, some people have said that's a negative thing regarding the Olympics. We don't want to know not only how did Michael Phelps do, but how is the U.S. doing relative to Germany and relative to China, et cetera. What's your take on the nationalism debate?
I think it's only natural that you're going to have a scoreboard, the medal count, pitting the countries up against each other. And you see the same rivalries at the Olympics that you would see, you know, between NFL teams or NBA teams or soccer teams in the World Cup. And that's changed over the years, too. If you remember, you know, the Cold War, it was always the U.S. versus the Soviet Union. And we still have that lingering now, you know, U.S. versus Russia. And, of course, as the world changes, you know, China is considered one of our rivals now. We hate the fact that China, you know, is now the dominant diving nation, which is a sport that the U.S. used to dominate. So I don't see anything wrong with it. I think it adds, you know, for the average viewer, you know, it adds a little bit of the home rooting interest. And, of course, it's just normal that people are going to be territorial and sort of jingoistic and caring about how their home country does. I mean, of course, it doesn't really mean anything. I mean, it's in the end, it's athlete versus athlete. But I think it's just an ingrained part of the Olympics at this point.
So in the final 30 seconds that we have, anybody we should be watching for, particularly among the U.S. contingent, somebody who's going to burst on the scene, as we've seen in so many past Olympics?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting in swimming. Michael Phelps is coming back, but I think somebody like Katie Ledecky is going to be, you know, is going to be your star. She swims the long distance events, which are, you know, a little less exciting to watch. So I think you may see a changing of the guard in some of these, in some of the sports. You know, can Usain Bolt dominate again for the third time? Will the Russian track and field team be allowed to even compete in Rio? And then in gymnastics, we're going to have an interesting, we could have an interesting competition between Simone Biles and Gabby Douglas. Gabby's trying to come back. And Simone is kind of the current younger champion. So that I think that'll be really interesting in women's gymnastics, which is always a marquee event. And beach volleyball, of course, will be huge in Rio. And the Americans will be trying to upend the home court advantage for the Brazilians. So I think that'll be really interesting.
Lots to look forward to. And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Linda Robertson. Thanks also to engineer Dylan Field. And thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.